I am unashamed. What about you?
So, look who's in the Unashamed Podcast Command Center, in the seat of the big pop.
Oh,
Phil, right? You are.
I'm in the man's seat.
You're in the man's seat. You realize that?
You shouldn't have told me. You shouldn't have told me that. Didn't
you teach Phil everything you know?
Well, yeah. I guess when you get right down to it, yeah. I tried to. He didn't.
He's
not a very good student. Yeah. He went wayward on me. Okay.
So it's Unashamed Podcast with Phil Robertson, but. Dad had his, we mentioned last time we were on that he was going to have cataract surgery. We've been talking about his health decline this year. He calls himself Cy, the one-armed, one-eyed man. Of course, what's funny is he claimed at one arm and one eye that he was still out shooting the duck blind.
Yeah,
even though it was literally that one hand and one eye tied behind his back.
No,
so that's what he said
on
here.
He got off that the last few days.
I was just fixing to say no, because Jay Stone fell in the bottom of the blind the other morning at duck hunting. The duck come in there, boom, 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 three times. He missed. Phil. The next bunch come in, three times, boom, 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 he missed.
Uh-oh.
Next time, three times, boom, 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 he missed. And he said, Stone, you know what you call this? And Stone said, what? He said, dead weight. He said, but I own the property, so don't get no ideals. And Stone hit the bottom of the blind laughing.
So he admitted he was dead weight, but he's like, but I own the place, right?
I own the place, boys. Don't get any bright ideals.
We were in the same area. We could see them.
Yeah.
So
you were watching.
It's embarrassing when you see two ducks. Just like because they worked around, then they went in at them. I was like, well, they got them. And then it's boom, 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 boom. I was like, that was embarrassing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's one thing to miss, it's another thing to have two of your hunting party. And
I guess the
blind
best thing for Dad in
watching you miss
in his declining years is that we're not filming as much as we used to. So you don't have to always capture it on camera. That's what's
bad. Well, here's the amazing thing because Stone said it. He said, you're doing this by muscle memory. You can't see.
Well, when your muscle starts moving four to six inches,
when you're losing your muscle.
Yeah, and you're losing your muscles together. But he's doing all this just by, he's done it so long, he can't see them. So he just, you know, he's killing them.
All right, so we're talking.
He's done pretty well.
Since we're talking duck season, which is now behind us, it's in the rearview mirror. For 2019, 2020, and it was a pretty poor season, as we've lamented. So there's two questions, Si, because I need to, you know, I've been sitting here in between, you know, Dad and Jace with some running debates throughout the whole season, because we always talk a little duck hunting for hunter friends out there. And a bunch of you have commented how much you enjoy it just because you don't know anything about it. So there's two questions. One, it started even back in teal season about the battle of the dogs. We got Blue. And we got Biggin. This was Biggin's debut year, Jace's new dog. And so then we got Blue. So, look, the debate went on all year. And they both had some conciliatory, you know, towards each other's dogs. It was very cordial and nice. But at the end of the day, Jace still thinks his dog is better, except that he's now got some Blue tendencies.
No, I'm off that.
You're off? You totally got off that?
Well, I just think I have
another
a golden blue.
So what is your taste? I want to know. You were hunting most of the season. I didn't. I never saw a big one.
Me and Stone, I look at the overall picture. Okay? It's either, like, I'm not even involved in it because I don't go get the duck. Stone or Jace goes get the ducks if the dog's not there.
Right.
So, really, for me to say anything, I ain't got nothing to say.
You've
okay?
got a blind position.
Basically,
yeah. Just like
let
me
just tell you. That
I'm dead weight. Like Phil
goes
said.
Out there.
I'm dead
definitely
weight.
Dead weight.
Plops down and says.
Yeah, I'm dead weight.
I am too. I admit it.
Well, look, they have broke me. I'm not the mule that they just loaded too many times. They broke me, okay? Because, look, we take 2,000 pounds of grit. Everywhere we go, and we may move three times in a day. If
right.
hunt.
There's going to be all these questions. What is 200 pounds of grit? Not
grit. Not
like
200, 2,000.
It's grip. It's grip. Your gear.
Oh, yeah, what, you gear.
Yeah. Okay.
Some people think
we got,
that we're eating grits by the thousands of pounds.
Who would want 200 pounds
we
of grit?
We got $400
like
chairs
grits.
That we're carrying. You know,
sorry,
now
so
we
you're
be comfortable.
So, but you agree basically with the sentiment that Blue has been a fantastic, the best retrieving lab we've ever had in terms of what he can do.
No doubt.
But the most annoying lab we've
ever
had.
Well, he's just a how would I word this? He's an undisciplined child that's running amok. Okay, and look, and begging ain't no better.
No,
okay, because you know,
it's just starting to think maybe it's the owner. It's an owner problem. Maybe they're taking the atmosphere of their ownership. Maybe it's going from owner to dog.
It's a fire issue. They have that fire. Yeah,
here's what I've learned. Okay, if I was to go out and buy me a retriever, the last thing I'm going to buy me is a male dog.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, hey, you know, prime example, Phil's prime example. Okay, males are hard-headed.
What happened to that dog you had on the show? What was that thing?
Oh, Killer.
A poodle.
The Poodler. Yeah. Oh, no.
Hey, maybe we need to thank Poodle. That was one of the top retrieving poodle lab.
I was impressed. Hey, they got issues too because I killed a dove. He went out there and got it come running by me, and he was running by me too fast, so I grabbed him. Well, poodles are real tender skin. Okay, so I pinched him and he tried to bite me. So I had to send that clown back to Georgia for remedial training.
Well, I was wondering what happened to that dog.
It's the number one question I get from kids. Of course, now they're growing up. They're teenagers, but they were kids at the time when they were watching the show. Is does Uncle Si still have that dog? I can't tell you how many times you get that question when you're on the road.
Look, that's the most I got. They made a big poster out of that picture where the guy's panning. And there's me and Killer sitting up there. Yeah, I've signed that more times. I've signed that one more times than anything.
And that dog tried to bite. Well, at least my dog hadn't tried to bite me.
Yeah, we hadn't had that. That'd be bad.
I was so worn out from duck season that, you know, Arkansas, and there was a couple of other states this year that actually had an extended season for like 4 or 5 days. You went on. Did y'all kill them?
Killed about 40. But, compared to what we saw on Sullivan Lake.
You saw more in 2 days than you did the whole season here.
Oh, yeah. 40 in 2 days?
Yeah, we killed 40.
20 a day.
I mean, it was good because there's all good ducks, mallards, teal, but no. Nah.
Well, see, I was supposed
to. It wasn't nothing like what it used to be because they're doing just what they do down here. They come on Sullivan Lake and go, it's a new ball game. I'm telling you. We have trained ducks, okay, the hunters have. They're becoming super ducks.
That's what Dad's theory is. His theory is that we've killed all the dumb ones and young ones, and all that's left are the wily veterans.
Yeah, the geniuses of the duck species.
They have learned how to evade.
You know what happened? I was looking at the history of Louisiana duck hunting, and you know, we always say, well, these sanctuaries cropped up from the government, and they're holding all the ducks. And they are. Yeah, I mean, there's something to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was looking in the history of Louisiana, and I think I figured out the problem. When they outlawed baiting, which wasn't that long ago, like the late 80s in Louisiana, well, that's when the ducks stop showing up. You know, I mean, I didn't realize that up until whatever the year was, I can't remember exactly. Oh, well, you could throw corn out
and
there
down and in the southern half of our state, we call that Cajun gold. You know, because
the gold.
So now, gold, I mean, why would they come here? They got all the sanctuaries on the way. If you don't get some extreme weather phenomenon,
which weather's been terrible.
They have better, you know, my buddy up in Kansas, I mean, he has cornfields and, you know, millet patches. And, well, the ducks, they're not leaving unless it gets sub-zero. And it just, this year, it got below freezing, once or twice and only for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Cold weather will not do it. It has to be, you have to have a lot of snow cover the food source.
That's right.
Well, if it's extremely cold, it would work.
And another thing, you were talking about that, okay, on the sanctuaries. Well, guess what? The government is planting gold.
Oh,
a lot of it.
Oh, it's okay for them.
Yeah, it's okay for them to do it.
I was at a sanctuary in Washington. Our buddy, we were hunting there a few years ago, and he said, I want to show you something. And they had a sanctuary that you could ride through.
Well, they don't even allow that here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like in vehicle, and you're looking out there, and it's like some park for ducks. You know, it's thousands of ducks. Yeah. And I said, what are those floating containers? It was like these big silos that were like submarine, and they were floating around. They said they load them up with feed. Yeah.
Buffet corn stop.
They float in the water. Yeah. And all the ducks. I was like, well, this is not fair. No wonder you can't get it.
He said, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Si, we talk on our podcast quite a bit. There's a company that sponsors our podcast, and so it's called Keeps. And you may have seen some of their national ads. It's called Keeps because it's about keeping your hair. Now, the problem we've had us talking about is Jay still has a lot of hair, yeah. You know. Dad still has a lot of hair, getting a little thinner. I got a little spot coming up, you know, right on the crown, the splendor of glory, the Bible calls it.
Yeah. Most of mine done fell out.
Si lost his a long time ago. He's probably too old for hormones to work.
This is not gathering up what you lost and putting it back.
You don't need to tell me what they're doing here. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Okay. It ain't going to work.
I think Si's got to sit this one out.
Where he's having a bad hair year.
Si lives with a bad hair year.
Maybe a bad hair decade. But for a lot of people, this gives them hope.
That's right. So we got two FDA-approved products, basically the generic version that Keeps comes out with. You go on their online to their website, keeps.com, and basically you're going to snap a few pics of your hair. There's a doctor there. They review this because you get some hormone treatments, which are really good. We're not going to worry about Si, but for the rest of the world, you get 66% of men experience hair growth thanks to Keeps. So 2/3 works for you. I don't know about age, but I'm assuming when you're younger, it's probably even better. Keeps.com/door is where you're going to go. Keeps.com/door. You get 50% off your first treatment, half off if you want to give these guys a shot. Keeps.com/door to keep some of your hair.
I mean, yeah. the government boys can bait.
It's always a government.
But the common
foul. Yeah, and hey, I mean bad foul.
Throw the flag on the government boys.
Hey, throw him out of the game, okay?
So I was supposed to go with Si and Jay to Arkansas, but then my wife, she was like,
"Yeah,
we've been doing this worship at our church."
Hey, and by the way, Sunday was awesome.
Oh, our worship?
The praise team was awesome.
They've really
been working. I can tell they've been working hard.
Well, and it's been funny because we've had I call it the Robertson resurgence at our church because we've all been out on the road doing stuff for years. Now, this year, we're doing less. So Jason and Missy are in charge of worship for our first service, and they're doing great. I mean, it's just grown. It's so awesome. And then I've started preaching some more with a couple other guys. And so Si's, he's been fired up, you know, every Sunday.
Si's
our amen section.
No, I'll fix that. Your lesson last week, okay? And guys, here's what it was. He's preaching on the book of John, and the title of the lesson is The Case for Jesus, okay? Al was talking about, John the Baptist, the one that is paving the way for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He becomes famous for one thing, water baptism. He's on the Jordan River and he's baptizing thousands, okay? God's purpose in this has not been revealed yet, okay? The reason John the Baptist come, he's paving the way for the Lord, Jesus Christ, okay? He's on the river and he's baptizing thousands, and it's for the remission of sins. So Al's talking about it, and he read it from the scripture, from the book of John. And the purpose was, at the time that Jesus comes to John the Baptist and says, hey, you need to baptize me. John knows that Jesus is a good man, but he don't know that he's the Son of God yet.
Yeah, he said he didn't.
Because he has not revealed. That's right. Okay. So anyway, he's arguing with Jesus about, no, you need to baptize me. And Al used two phrases that stuck in my mind, and I had an out-of-body experience while Al is giving the lesson.
He told me this in the foyer.
I had to go tell him. I chased him down.
I hadn't heard about this out-of-body experience.
No. I went down there. Lisa was standing there. I said, where'd Al go? He's in the back. So I run out back. He's talking to somebody. Wait till he gets through. So I said, boy, that was a good one, Al. I said, you gave me an out-of-body experience, or maybe it's a vision from God.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but while you was preaching, here's what, and me thinking about it, is what's scary.
When no, it was scary when you said it was an out-of-body experience.
No, it gets worse because when I was telling Al, I said, when you was talking about, you know, Al said, you know, John the Baptist finally submits to Jesus and baptized him, okay, because Jesus says these words, you know, let it be so. Quit arguing with me. Let it be so, okay, because it fulfills all righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then John the Baptist relented and baptized him, and then the heavens opened up, and what looked like a dove come from heaven and lit on Jesus and stayed there. Well, guess what? The one that sent John the Baptist to pave the way for the Lord mm-hmm. had told him, the one you see the Spirit land on and stay,
mm-hmm.
this is my son. And then the voice from heaven said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Well, while all this is going on, Al goes, takes it back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Father, the Word, and the Spirit was hovering over the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, when he said that, and Al had said that phrase, and then, this is a big moment in time. Okay?
It is the moment in time.
This is a big moment in time. This is a special moment in time. Here's what I thought. I said, and Al even said it and said, the Spirit is hovering over the water today, waiting on you to make your choice to come down and take advantage of what's being offered.
That's right.
You know, when he said that, I said, I said, the Holy Spirit is hovering over the water. And I said, then one comes down and submits to, he heard the gospel, he submit to it and is baptized. At that moment, the Holy Spirit penetrates the egg of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then enters that being when he comes out of the water and he is born again. Okay, not of perishable seed,
yeah,
but imperishable.
He becomes eternal.
He becomes an eternal being.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You know?
That's why he can't kill us.
You know, and I said,
I love that.
And I got, you know, I said, you know, and I had thought of a lot of other stuff, but I looked at, then I go back
so then
on
you
some
saw
of the,
yourself, you felt something leave your body?
Well, no, no, I'm just looking.
I'm trying to get back to that.
Well, no, the scary part was that I actually thought, okay, the Holy Spirit penetrates the egg of eternity and then enters a being and changes him from a mortal being to and gives him immortality.
Yeah, and you're in on that,
and I'm part of that.
So then you were so excited. You
so oh
felt
yeah,
like
a, oh no, so yeah, like I got all fired up. Trust
yeah.
me.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
So that was exciting because I mean I love it because Si is so engaged, and a lot of our church is, but that's exactly what we were talking about. And then I said, I think on the podcast, Jay's that the idea I got about that hovering over the water actually came from Jay, something he said here on the podcast. And we were back doing Genesis like a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it just plants a seed.
See, we're getting all our ideas for the lessons right here.
Right here.
Do you know what got my attention? Because I'm a wilderness, you know, water type person. Everything I'm looking at the creation because it points to the creator. You know, when I saw that phrase hovering over the water, no. Well, that got my attention.
Yes,
no,
because
no, no, yeah,
you know what turned me on is a duck hovering over the, water. I was thinking, you know, a mojo just hovering over the water. So when I saw that, you know, in Genesis 1:2, when it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the water, and then I thought, well, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit still hovers over the water.
No, no.
When a person surrenders to
Jesus,
that's right.
Yeah.
You receive the Holy Spirit. That's right. So I thought, boy, I'm into that.
Well,
so
I had added a link in my sermon that I had thought about since you and I talked about that in Acts 2, whenever God ushered in the sort of the era of the Holy Spirit available for everybody. Because there would have been Spirit-filled people throughout
It says in Acts 2, which I've – because there's a lot of debate in the religious world and confusion about that. But there's a phrase in Acts 2 that I think clears up exactly what happened. I can read it. But it says the Holy Spirit was poured out.
Yep.
That's right.
Well, you think about why do you pour something out? What is the purpose of pouring something out? is so that you can share get it. At it.
Well, share it.
Well, it's like if you poured you a cup of milk, why'd you pour it? So you can drink it.
Right.
I think Acts 2, it says in verse, where is that at? It says, it poured out what you see and hear. Here it is. In 33, in Peter's sermon, Acts 2, 33, he said, Jesus, that God did not abandon him to the grave in 31. His body didn't see decay, which is what Si's point was, because he had immortality. Yep. God has raised this Jesus to life. Why? Because he had the Holy through the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And we are all witnesses to the fact this was not something we made up.
Right.
He was dead. Now he's alive. Exalted to the right hand of God. Okay. He has received, now here's my point, from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he poured out the Holy Spirit.
So we established the fact that, you know, Phil does not have a cell phone, but he usually has someone around him that has a cell phone.
Yeah.
But
he's
anti-phone, but he likes the benefits of the phone. That's what he says. He calls it the little black box.
Well, I'm just the opposite because I have phones. They will not work with me, so I'm out.
So
you don't think it's a user problem?
No. I've had people come up to me and say, I asked them to make a phone call, and they said, well, let me use your phone. I said, darling, if it will work, I would do it. And they try it 15 minutes. They punch it on it, and it won't work. And it's just a piece of junk. I said, I told you it wouldn't work.
So it could be the carrier. Who knows with Si? Yeah. It won't work for Si. Dad won't use them. Jason and I are plugged into the, you know, when Jason can find his because he loses his all the time. But, you know, there's a lot about who these carrier companies, of course, most of them are huge corporations. You got AT&T, you know, Verizon, all these different ones. So the problem is the values of a lot of these companies that are most people have their cell phones through donate a lot of money to causes that most of us would not really agree with at all. Now, you know, you can't control what other people donate their money to, but if someone were to come along and basically have the values that you have and offer a service, you know, it might be worth looking into. And so there's a company called Patriot Mobile. Very patriotic, very committed to the Constitution, very committed to causes like matter to us. We're talking about, you know, the Second Amendment, right to life, you know, for babies. And so these guys are great. They sort of our kind of people. You know, they participated in the March for Life, Pro-Life Summit. So if you want to check these guys out, we suggest you give them a look. It starts at $25. That comes with unlimited talk, text. You get the same reliable service, no hidden fees, which you get with a lot of the other ones. So the way you do that is you go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, which I've always thought is funny because Dad would know a cell phone from a, you know, from a computer. But when you use the offer code Phil, you get a free month of service, you get a free gift, and you basically open up a new line. So that's patriotmobile.com/Phil. Use the offer code Phil. If you want to give these guys a shot and, you know, like-minded people sticking together, which is never a bad thing.
Yeah.
And remember, that was referred to, go back to Jesus' baptism. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but one comes after me that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So what he was talking about was this very thing.
Yep.
That was the difference in John's baptism and then the baptism of Jesus was the presence of the Holy Spirit. Before, it was only a baptism of repentance. Look, water baptism is still a baptism of repentance. You're telling the world, which is Acts 2, I want to repent, I want to change. Yeah. It is a sign of change.
Yeah.
But the difference is that now you, what do you call it? Penetrate the eternal egg, which allows the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And look, so my point was, before that happened, what Jace just read, when the disciples were getting ready, all of a sudden the house started shaking. They're just praying. What do we do? The house started shaking like an earthquake.
Yep.
And they looked around and above each other's head was
fire.
It looked like a tongue of fire.
Guess what? I thought you were going with the out of body. I thought you were going to have some tongue of fire.
No, I looked, you know, because I look at it hovering over the water again. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, and I look, and I always, I'm on a common sense kick with religion. You know, if you take the first verse, in the beginning was, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. That, you know, I can take you 12 more verses, and then he says, okay, I hung a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. Okay. Well, I know what God used to pour out the Holy Spirit with. The Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. It's in the sky.
Well, you're going to change astrology as we know it.
Well, no. I mean, think about that, though.
No, I have never thought of that. Right. That's
no, I'm serious.
The purpose of the big and little
ring. That's what place the purpose to go is. Into the mind of
Well, well, no, because you got to think about it. Okay, because I talked to you about what was the verse about don't mess with the intended purpose God has for you.
Yeah, besides that, where's that verse? And then he gave a quote. It's not in the Bible.
A redneck, redneck version.
I said, okay. It's a sad that's not in the Bible.
It's a redneck version.
I can't,
you can't find a verse that's been paraphrased.
I want to read this. Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you. So I said, we're controlled by the Spirit. That's why we know the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience. Well, he gets the credit for all the good things that happen in our life. But it says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he doesn't belong to Jesus. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. You know, a lot of people say, well, I have God's Spirit. Well, how come I die? Well, your body, it'll die.
Yeah.
It's dead. Just, you know, we're separated from that tree of life and that garden, you know. But here's the key, Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who lives in you.
Right.
What a verse.
That's a powerful verse. And so it's the same setup we've talked about before. We're made up of three parts, body, soul, spirit. In other words, you have a body. You have an animating force that is who you are. I mean, Si has a spirit. His spirit is different than Jason's spirit, my spirit. And you see that in the way people react. We call it personality, but that's your spirit. That's who you are.
Different from every person on the planet.
Well, you know, Si, Dad says, because dementia is in our family, he says you were born with dementia, but we just got used to it. So that you just demented your whole life.
It's not even a sickness with me. Okay, that's just part of me.
But you know,
part of my DNA.
What I love about Si being on the podcast, and at some point we got to get Godwin on here too, because you know the Duck Dynasty. For a lot of you that are listening to the podcast, you watch the show, and so everybody kind of had the show. Always kind of everybody knew their lanes of kind of our personalities, and obviously Si was crazy and told funny stories and did crazy things, which is Si. It's definitely him. But you never got the depth of Si, you know, him as a spiritual man of God, which we all know that because we spend time talking about this. Jay's kind of had a role.
My favorite thing Si does is like when one of us are preaching, because, you know, we're family, we stick together despite our disagreements. But Si gets so fired up, then he just starts hollering during the service.
Kurt rubbed off on me.
The last time I spoke.
If you're excited, look.
He just kind of started preaching
he's commentary from the back. We can't understand.
I'm like, Si, let me finish here, and then you can come up.
But it is fun though, isn't it, that people get enthused when you're up front?
Yeah, it's good. I was going to tell you that we never finished this thought. I was going to go duck hunting in Arkansas, but my wife came to me and said, there's a worship conference in Nashville, like tomorrow. It starts tomorrow. I mean, it was 11 o'clock at night when she come in here and said that. So I was like, I had my feel answer. What do you want me to do about it?
She's like, well,
I think we should go. And I was like, well, that's a long drive. Yeah. And she's like, no, let's just fly up there. Then Mia came to tell us good night, and she's like, what are y'all planning? And Missy was like, well, there's a worship conference, you know, in Nashville. And
Reed lives there.
Then Reed lives there.
Then Mia said, let's go.
Well, Mia said, ooh, fly. That sounds fun.
Yeah, let's fly. Like, let's fly.
All right, I guess we're going to Nashville. So we did. So I went. That's where I've been for three
days.
Well,
Jace called me. The next morning, Jace calls me at 9 o'clock in the morning. Says, hey, where are you doing? I said, well, I'm in my truck. You know. And he said, you want to go to Nashville? And I was like, when? He was like, this afternoon.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm already on my way to the airport because I'm going mom to Austin. We're flying to Austin. So Jay's, I was like, man, this was a, when did you make this call? He said, 11 o'clock last night. And I was like, boy, that's a, you talking about living on the fly. I like it, you know.
Yeah, so I wanted to finish that.
So
we
went. Tell us what you, because it was a worship concert.
Which shows you how depressing my duck season was. It was like, you want these bonus 4 days? And I'm like,
So what did you learn while you were there?
Because I'll tell you what I learned. Because, you know, my wife, the only person she knew that was going to be there was Carrie Job, who y'all probably hadn't, you know, if you're not into contemporary Christian music.
Don't know
her.
Right. Whatever. Well,
he doesn't know him or her.
I don't know her or him.
But she's awesome. And
do you listen to radio singing?
She was going to be there. They did 3 days. They have, like, worship concerts, and then they have a speaker, and then you have small groups and all this. But she was one of the main big ticket items. She's awesome. And she was like, yeah, come on, you know, it'd be great. So, but we never registered. We never, you know, so
kind of classic Robertson style these days.
And so my wife and I, when we land, I'm like, we look out there and there's a party bus for us, which I'm not sure where the party bus came from. Missy's like, did you do this? I said, I didn't. She was going to get an Uber. I said, I didn't do this. So we never got an answer on that. Somebody sent a bus there for us, and so that was a good sign, you know.
Well, Jace, you hadn't realized this yet, but you're kind of a big deal. I mean, people line up party buses for you. That's what they do.
So we show up. So we go up to the you know, to get in. Well, they got people in front. You got to have a badge, a ticket. I'm looking around. I said, where's our entry?
Where's all this stuff?
And Missy's like,
don't worry about it.
I don't have it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
But somebody was walking through, and they said, hey, Duck Dynasty. Oh, let them in. Because they could tell.
There's your card.
There's your card, boy.
You know, it's like, Duck Dynasty. Next thing you know, I'm in a VIP room getting a badge. And that's kind of how the whole thing went, which was awesome. I was like, where do we pay? And they're like, oh, no, you're
good. Your money's no good here.
You're good. So we go out here. Look, it was, you know, it was an incredible experience. We learned a lot. We worshiped for days.
Oh, yeah, and, which is fun.
I thought the only negative thing about the whole trip is, you know, I like getting a car, sir. I like having a vehicle. I feel trapped when I'm at a place.
Yep. And
Missy's like, no, we'll just get Ubers, you know. And I was like, I don't like that concept. I don't want to do that. Let's just get a car. I mean, we came up here in a plane. Get a car, sir. She wouldn't do it. So we, you know, Mia, she just had surgery. She couldn't. There's not a whole lot she can eat at this point. And so she wanted to go to Chick-fil-A, and I'm like, oh, this ought to be good, you know, because I tend to stand out in a crowd. Let's go to Chick-fil-A when we're having a conference with thousands of people.
Yeah.
And so we get a ride, Uber over there. Well, then they couldn't get a signal, so we're at the Chick-fil-A. And I mean, standing room only. I had to go outside just to get some air. And then everybody gravitated outside. It was one of those days.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm telling you the story to say this. They can't. Their phones are not working to get an Uber. So everybody starts leaving to go back to the conference. And I'm like, we need a ride. So Missy's like, what are we going to do? And so I said, hey, can anybody give us a ride to the church? And so this guy's like, sure, come on with us. Well, we go over there. Well, he has a four-person car. It's like a little, what do you call these things? A little sedan, I guess. Well, there's three of them.
And there's three of
y'all. Now I'm like, yeah, there's three of us. And I was like, and there was a guy from the Ukraine, which was weird. I've been to the Ukraine. Yeah. It's almost like a God orchestrated thing. We pile into this car, and they're like taking selfies because they're like, hey, Duck Dynasty, you know? And I'm breaking every safety law in the vehicle, you know? And I thought, why are we doing this? You know, I told Missy, I was like, I told you to get a car service, and you've put all your hopes and dreams on Uber, which is just
well, if you don't have
connecting,
a phone, yeah.
Yeah, with people. This is why I didn't want to do this. So then we have this argument
in the car. In the car with
you
all
know,
the
I'm like, which is embarrassing to them because they're like, well, I thought we were family here. I'm like, well, you are sort of, even though we just met you. But
you know what, the marvel is for me in that story is how quickly, and I've seen this with Si and Dad too, that you can transition from celebrity to homeless.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a car, I don't have a ride, somebody help me to back to celebrity. It's amazing transition. One day you're standing there and everybody knows you're taking selfies, the next minute somebody's putting a dollar in your coffee cup. So, Si, I bet this is something you didn't know. This is going to shock you. Dad was shocked the first time we talked about this with him. Thieves, you know, you're always thieves are out here. They're always trying to steal stuff. You know, they Christmas time now. There's so many packages. They come get your package. All the poor. You know, there's a new way. There's always a new way to steal something. Well, because of the internet, now they steal personality, your information on the internet. They claim they're you. You know, all these different things happen. So this was shocking to me. There's this woman named Deborah that basically tells her story. Criminals found the title to her home online because you know you think about it. If I said, where's the title to your home? Now, me and you, because we live in a manufactured home, we may have our title right in there somewhere with us, which is kind of good. I kind of like that. Yeah. But in most people's home, they got, you know, the bank has it. Where is it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, out here now in cyberland, or as Dad calls it, computer land, maybe the title of your home. Well, guess what? They hacked into the database, stole her home, basically said, this is our home. They show up, the cops show up and evict her out of her own home because she doesn't own it anymore. Probably some oligarch from Ukraine or wherever it was the owner of her house. So, I mean, it really happened, you know, to this woman, and it may have happened to other people. I don't know. So a company, you know, when something like this happens, somebody's like, man, we got to do something to protect people from doing this. So there's a company called Home Title Lock. And basically they protect your title so that people can't get in, you know, and steal it. So HomeTitleLock.com is the website. You go there. First thing you find out, make sure the title of your home is still protected. That's important, which you can do that through their website. After you register your address, then basically they set up a firewall around your home title. So it's HomeTitleLock.com is the website. We encourage you to go check it out. And, you know, first of all, find out, do you still own your home? I mean, somebody showed up at your house and said, you know,
I can see your wheels turning, so firewall, no, cyber security, protect your home.
Mine's protected by Browning and Heritage and 357. Yeah, I don't need no dog. I got a cat, but no, I don't need no dog.
Oh, so don't mess with Si's house. I tell you that right there.
You got trouble.
For everybody else, HomeTitleLock.com. Check it out if you want to try to protect your find out exactly where your home title is. I mean, you people are weird.
That started a cycle. Every time we had to go somewhere or do something, I had to say, I need a ride.
Here it goes again. Here we go again.
I met all these.
I'm a celebrity. I'm a VIP, and I don't have a ride.
I didn't have a ride the whole time. And we did this the whole session. And look, you know what's weird about females is she never said, yep, you're right. That was a bad call. You know,
she never owned it.
Yeah.
She was like, well, look at how many people we got to meet. I was like,
it was a good experience.
If you want to meet the people, we could have done that at any point.
It was a good
experience. Why do I have to hitchhike at every time there's a break in the festivities?
That's crazy.
I basically hitchhike the entire time. All the way back to the airport to leave. I'm like, is anybody headed to the airport? Because I need a ride.
That's my life whenever I go to Nashville. Okay.
Hitchhiking?
I wait. I feel like I'm homeless because I wait till some fan comes up and says, can I take a picture? I said, yep, if you'll do me a favor first, call this number. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Is it like an 800 stranded number?
No, I'm stranded. Phones will not work for me.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Well,
I've owned two of them and they never work.
It's because of your magnetic personality.
I don't know what it is. Your phones will not.
Well, here's what I did. You said, well, why didn't you use your phone? Well, I thought I left my phone in an Uber. So it's gone.
And
so
I said, you lost $1,000 phone.
Well, yeah, I lost my phone the whole trip. So I said, it's gone. And Missy's wanting to look for it. I was like, it's gone. Forget it. I've lost them before. I lost one in a swamp. I was like, this is a concrete swamp. Yeah, and hey, some Uber driver got my phone. Right. So I was like, we'll deal with that when I get back.
Yeah.
So look, when we're headed toward the airport, I got this new bag that I'm carrying all my stuff in, and there's like a pocket that I didn't even know was there.
That's where the phone.
My phone. So look, I got my phone out too. I found my phone. So then that made it worse because then the whole time we had about a phone. That. You know, every time I brought up the hitchhiking fiasco, she brought up, "Well, I can't believe you lost your phone for 3 days, but not really." So anyway. But I will say this. One of the sermons that I heard was one of the top five sermons I've ever heard.
Wow.
And it was dealing with the same concept of what we're talking about. And look, all this stuff we're talking about, the Spirit hovering over the waters and John the Baptist preparing the way, we didn't come up with that. We read what happened.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he read the name of his sermon. I think his name was Robert Madu, I think. Young guy. I say young. 35 seems a child now to me.
Yeah.
And fantastic. But what he did was he read the baptism of Jesus, which caught my attention because that's kind of what we've been studying.
Right.
And he's like, you know, three things happen. You know, this voice from God, this is my son whom I love, and whom I'm well pleased. And he made the transition like we do, that God says the same thing about us. Mm-hmm. The Spirit, we get God's Spirit. His whole point was, but then that same Spirit, because the next verse, which I hadn't noticed, immediately led him to the wilderness to be tempted. And his whole point was, as Christians, we always preach this monumental moment, you know, of when we're saved or some other mountaintop, you know, we go to a conference. But he's like, God prepared us through his Spirit to take us to the wilderness. That's where we become Jesus. That Jesus went out to be tested by the evil one, but he also stayed in the wilderness his whole ministry, showing what God is like out in the world. And so it was a fascinating principle that I kind of zeroed in on.
That's good.
And he was making the point, look, you're going to leave this utopia and go back to the wilderness of your church where there's problems. And leadership and ministry, it can be trying and difficult at times.
And political and all the stuff that goes with churches.
But I wanted to share that. He's like, a lot of times people, you know, they don't realize that when you're really on fire for Jesus and you're out there really creating all these mountaintop experiences, which is people coming to the Lord, well, the evil one, he's not going to take that.
Right.
You are going to be attacked. He will try to shut you down, just like he did Jesus.
Yeah.
And since we were at a worship conference, you know, his point was when Jesus was tempted by the evil one, you know, one, he quoted scriptures at every point, but he got down to the end, and when the evil one had said, you know, you just worship me and I'll give you all this, and you think, well, why would even Jesus do that? But he'd been on a 40-day fast. I mean, as a human, he was at a weak moment,
right.
You know, but he made that statement. He's like, worship and serve God in him only, which we were at a conference, and his whole point for having that lesson was, that's what we do individually. We go out there and we're on fire for Jesus, and we, you know, overcome all the adversity and the persecution and attacks because we worship and serve God only.
Right.
There's nothing on this planet that can compare to, one, having a relationship with God, but two, you know, being used by God to encourage others to do the same thing. I mean, that's the most fulfilling thing you can do on earth. So I wanted to give you all that.
That's one of the things that, one of the best, I guess, testimonies I ever gave was in a casino in Las Vegas.
Ooh, tell me more, son.
No, I'm serious, and it was about what you were talking about. I'm sitting there, me and Philip were playing poker, okay? I got busted out, Philip's still doing good.
Shocker. So that doesn't happen very often, does it?
So, no. Anyway, this woman keeps walking by, and she's looking, and I know what's going on. She's recognized, you know. So, finally, she passes by about four or five times. She comes, just sits down beside me and says, we got to settle this. Are you him? And I bust out laughing and said, well, that depends on who him is.
Yeah.
You know, and she said, well, the Duck Dynasty guy. I said, yes, I'm here. You know. So we get to talking, and I'm sitting there thinking about, all right, how am I going to bring Jesus into this?
That's a good way to be thinking.
No. So yeah, I'm sitting there doing this, you know, and she asked me, and it's so funny. She said, you're a big celebrity. You must have met 1,000 people. Who's the neatest guy you ever met? Well, I started laughing. And she said, well, what's funny? I said, well, I was sitting here thinking about how can I bring Jesus to you, and now you've asked me. And I said, hey, now here's the deal. Jesus is the coolest man I've ever met in my life.
That was a good answer.
And I said, and here's why. You know, and this blew her mind away, you know, because she was a beautiful young lady, you know. And I said, you are a fine little babe. You know, just like that. And when I said it, she goes like that. And I said, and I've got a problem with fine babes. I said, now here's the neat thing. Here's the neat thing about Jesus, why he's the coolest man I know. He can look at you and not go where I go. He looks at you as a sister, okay? And I said, I ain't been able to put it off. And I said, you got to understand something here. He was flesh and blood just like I was. I said, but with one big difference.
He never sinned.
He never made, yeah. And I said, and, you know, so with this goes on and on. I'm thinking I'm supposed to be witnessing to this lady. Well, there's a lady about 10 chairs over just drunk as a skunk. Okay, and the whole time I'm talking, she's moving. She's chair hopping like musical chairs.
You're getting closer to the conversation.
So this lady says, Mr. Robertson, it's been a pleasure, and I've really enjoyed talking to you, but me and my husband's got to go. I said, okay, darling. I said, you know, it was a pleasure meeting you, and, you know, hey, remember who the coolest man I ever met is.
Yeah, I think you did good.
But awesome. Anyway, so this lady says, you go out in the wilderness a lot, don't you? And I looked and I said, if you mean the woods, I hunt a lot, yeah. And
so she said, look like you've been in the wilderness.
Well, no.
That's a natural question.
No, because she says that, you know, and I laugh because I said, okay, if you mean in the woods, yeah. So she said, I wish I could go out in the wilderness instead of come up here and getting drunk. And I said, darling, I said, hey, here's number one deal. You make the choice to come up here and get drunk.
Yeah.
Here's my charge to you. Instead of coming up here and getting drunk and wasting your money, you go find you somebody, you know, church of your choice, and you go and stay with them. I said, because here's the bottom line. It's easier to be a Christian if you surround yourself with people of like mind.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
And I said, so quit coming up here and wasting your money getting drunk.
Yeah, I think that's, you handled that. Well,
you did. Well. And so it's interesting because I think, we're about out of time. But so we get a lot of questions about the two things you just talked about. One is, how do I share Jesus with people? How can I start a conversation? And you really shed a lot of light. The first thing is, you have to be thinking that way. You got to be thinking just what you were thinking. This is an opportunity.
Yeah. How am I going to tell this person and you're looking, about the Savior?
You're looking for an opening, and you got one. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that people ask us a lot. So that's what Sy just shared is perfect. The other is, a lot of people ask us, because we get these questions a lot, do I need to be a part of a church? Because, like, I love God. I read my Bible. You know, I'm a Christian, but I don't really have a church family. You know, and so that's a question. Because, look, when we're talking about it, church becomes obviously a problem when it's the focal point of your spiritual walk. It's not about
Let me answer the second one first, though, because we don't have much time.
Right.
I think people think they have the idea of church that it's a building.
Yeah.
It's something you go to. Yeah. You know, we were in Acts 2 earlier. When they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter, what do we do? And he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you. And they received God's Spirit and the forgiveness of sins. And then 41 says, and the Lord added
daily
to the church. You're in it. You get introduced to Jesus. You surrender. You in essence then become married to Jesus because you have the Holy Spirit, which is what the church is, the bride of Christ. You're in it. It's not something you can be involved or not involved. No. You're in.
Right.
If you don't want to, you know,
not only
function
that,
as a role member, that's on you.
Right.
Not only that, you don't go to church.
Right.
You are the church.
That's correct.
Okay. And not only that, when people ask me, you know, what religious denomination are you? And I said, wait a minute, whoa, I'm not none of that.
Right.
Let me tell you who I run with. Mm-hmm. I run with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you do the same and you've been baptized, you are my brother or you are my sister in Christ.
But and all,
you're part of my family.
Correct.
So
all three of us understand the nature, and we're trying to explain what the nature of the church is. But we're not saying it's not valuable to be a part of a family somewhere where you get encouragement.
You meet with the brothers and sisters.
It's a different issue. Right. I think people ask the question.
You need both.
People ask the question because there's no perfect churches out there.
No, there's none.
Nope.
And they get so frustrated going. But I always tell people that you can always come up with a reason why not to go to church.
That's exactly right.
The phraseology you use. Because people are hypocritical. And, you know, somebody's
going to hurt your feelings.
You know, right.
We're human and we're sinful people.
God uses flawed people to point people to the bridegroom, which is Jesus.
Yep.
And it's a very difficult thing to do. The other point of that is when you talk about how to start the conversations with people, I think Phil coined the phrase one time that Jesus was really good at directional dialogue.
That's right.
That's the phrase he used. He would go to have a normal conversation. But what you said about
the woman
at the casino, I've done 1,000 times, especially when I'm at an event that's not church sanctioned.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And most everybody's
pretty well hammered. Yep.
And they'll say, hey, Jace, you know, because I have a reputation of, you know, being a wild and crazy guy. So they're like, here, what whiskey do you want? And I'm like, oh, man, I'm already high. And they're like,
I don't need the whiskey.
What you on?
I said, I'm high on Jesus. I say that every time.
Yeah.
And look, it stops them in their tracks. And I'm like, Ephesians 5, man, you ready? And they're like, now, what is that? What, Ephesians? They have no idea what I'm talking about. I said, I tell you this, the high on that will beat whatever you have assembled here. And they're like, really? I was like, oh, I'm telling you.
And most people say, well, I'm not qualified to do it. You don't need no qualifications.
No, that's right. I made that same comment in this podcast.
Yeah.
When you surrender and God gives you the Spirit, guess what? You became qualified.
Not only that, trust me, okay, because he made me a TV celebrity. I don't even know what that is, but anyway, he made me one. All right, and the Holy Spirit always gives me what I need to share Jesus with everybody I come in contact with.
That's right.
He always does.
And that's what we do. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. We live it out. There is value. We gather. We worship. We encourage each other. But that's not the focal point. That just gets us fired up about everything else we do.
It's not what you do when you come together with the family. Okay.
No, you're resting, yeah.
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 You're just coming together with the family, okay? When you start working is after that.
That's right. You go out in the world.
I've noticed that most people that consistently don't come together with a family, they're usually up to no good.
That's right.
It's just a fact.
Yeah. If you don't meet with God's family, okay, that's why I said it's so much easier to live a Christian life if you surround yourself with like-minded people.
For crying out loud.
Size
that is Common Sense 101.
And with that,
good point.
And with that, we turn this. Yeah, that one's been around the whole time. Look, you can't see it on camera.
These earphones. Look, see this?
Yeah.
You can't hear it. Look, if you turn that over.
Wait a minute, turn it off.
You've only been hearing half the conversation.
Yeah. Oh,
flip that
good.
One around.
I've been good.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, no wonder. I wonder why they're
put that on and watch.
Now listen now.
Yeah. Oh, let there be sound.
Let there be sound. Hey, I was wondering. I said, this is the craziest phone.
I figured you said, this is a piece of junk.
Nah,
it's a piece of junk.
I'm feeling good.
Well, Uncle Si is always welcome in the Unashamed Podcast Command Center. Hopefully next time we'll get old PR back from his cataract surgery. I'll be sure and keep him in your prayers. We want to try to get him back to a two-armed, two-eyed man, if all possible. So,
that way he'll quit thinking he's dead weight.
That's right, exactly. So we'll see you next time. We are so glad you're watching and listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook, subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. That's going to keep you up to date with all the new episodes, and it's also going to let other people find out about our podcast. So keep spreading the word and watching and listening to Unashamed with Phil Robertson.